se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego, ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego.
Hey! All right. What a great intro that was. We're actually doing, we're recording this in a new location.
We're in a new room.
Yeah, and, it's the same place, but just a new room.
New room, and there may be guests. They may, yeah. People may pop in. People, my roommate might come back. In. My friend Ricardo might come over.
I was thinking about it. If they do pop in, they have very good input on probably the music that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
That's good.
Anyone that comes in, landlord, anyone, they have to give their take on whatever pop culture
exactly.
We're talking about.
Exactly. Well, welcome. This is the War on Pop Culture podcast, Chris and Steve, our two listeners out there.
Hey, Chris and Steve. Hey, what's your name again?
I'm Robert.
Oh, he's Robert. Robert Eng, I believe.
Yes,
right?
That is what I am called.
That's what they call
to my face.
Oof.
To my face.
I never call you things.
Ever. I thought that was going somewhere.
It went nowhere.
I went into a wall.
I never call you things.
Yeah. So we have been podcasting in a while because lives are busy.
I forgot words.
Apparently.
So much has happened over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, so we're back.
We're back. Back and better than ever.
I hope so.
I think so.
We're
Come
in a new
room. Did you hear that intro?
That was a great intro.
Really good.
Usually
one.
You pick one button and it plays a little bit too long and we don't know when it's going to end. These were short and you picked three buttons.
I know. Three. Triple threat.
Triple threat.
Triple threat.
So
it's March, the third month.
It is. It is March. Happy March.
Happy March, everyone.
We're expecting snow.
Yeah. I don't buy it.
Yeah?
I'm not sold.
I'm like, every single person I talk to has a different take, if it's going to be a lot or a little.
Has anyone said, I don't buy it?
Yeah, actually. Have someone say that. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't buy it?
I don't buy it.
You don't buy weather?
Nah.
Okay.
Not.
Well, I mean, it's not something that everyone believes in.
I don't believe in weather.
Mm.
Definitely not snow in March.
Yeah,
no way.
That's never happened before.
Never happening.
Alright, but full disclosure, this is going to be a very music-heavy episode. We've never... Oh, there's a cat in here.
There's a cat. Crazy things happen in this room.
Crazy things.
We got turtles.
There's turtles, there's cats, there's light.
There's light.
But 5 minutes ago, I did not think there was any light in this room. So that
I can make it more intimate again.
Like you, no, we don't need... No, if we had wine glasses out, then maybe.
Ooh.
Is someone smoking a cig in here?
Someone was smoking. I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, so we don't talk about music often because, like we've discussed, our taste of music is very kind of specific.
Obscure.
Yes.
That
obscurely specific.
Ooh.
But we're going to try to talk more about music festivals that kind of appeal to...
Because it's the summer.
Everyone.
Well, it's not. It's spring. But the summer's coming.
And also Rolling Stone published their 40 greatest emo albums of all time. So we're going to give our 2 cents about that.
Yeah. More like 5 cents. I don't like their
list. Wow, you just doubled down on that.
I don't like their list.
All right. But first and foremost, what have we been watching? Mike... You've been watching a lot more things than me, so say something that you've been watching and give me your take on it.
Well, I'm going to bring up the shows that we've both been watching so we can get a little discussion started. But
okay.
Walking Dead.
Walking
we're both watching
Dead.
Walking Dead.
Yes, so the last time we talked, something happened, and now a lot of things happened after. But you said you haven't watched the most recent episode, right?
I've tried to watch it 3 times, and I've fallen asleep every time. I actually had my student just tell me yesterday what actually happens in it, because I can't...
So, are you not liking this second half?
This last episode was really boring. I couldn't really...
I didn't mind it. Because I like Carol. Carol's one of my favorite characters.
Well, I knew when she was hyperventilating and all that that it was just a ruse.
Right,
I knew it was a trick.
Right.
That I got.
That.
But, I don't know, I couldn't... I think I got... The farthest I got was 30 minutes into it, out of the 3 tries. And,
I feel like that's most Walking Dead episodes. Most Walking Dead episodes are kind of just like...
You
just
care about half of them.
It's not even that. You care for like 10 to 15 minutes of the show. Everything else is really just like filler. But it does move the plot line forward, which is a good thing.
Well, fill me in. What moves it forward? I don't know.
Well, didn't you like the cliffhanger before the last episode when like they kind of
the walking
murder talk. People?
Yeah,
they kind of go in, they legit brutally murder people in their sleep.
Yeah,
and then they're like the walkie talkie is, oh, you know, we have Maggie and Carol. You know, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
I kind of felt uneasy watching that.
What do you mean? Oh, what,
killing all those people in the sleep?
I think that's...
I don't like it.
I think that's the point they're trying to get at, right? Like, kind of like, we're rooting for them because they're our protagonists, but they're really turned into bad freaking people.
I mean, like, it's really like, not a, they didn't do a nice thing. They weren't nice.
They were the opposite of nice. They were killing people in their sleep, which is usually a no-no, and, but not in Walking Dead territory. I mean,
this is before they even knew that they were bad. What if these are just, like, good people?
Right.
And I mean... he's killing them.
I don't know.
They don't seem like good people, though.
Yeah, but...
I mean, they tried to kill Daryl and then...
I'm with them on that. I hate Daryl.
But that was pretty cool. Obviously, we all saw that coming, because we're like, they're not going to die here.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool, with a grenade launcher. But then, what do you think about Jesus? I like him.
He's growing on me. Jesus is growing on me. Yeah.
I just think he's so crafty.
Jesus, which is, huh? Oh, that's like Maria. That's Mary. That's Jesus' mom. All right, sorry. I'm bringing the buttons back.
I'm like, when I heard Jesus, huh? I'm like, what angle is he going with this? Apparently, Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
No, Jesus, I think, is a pretty solid character.
I'm liking him. Because, he's all right.
Because, like, we haven't had too many cool new characters in a while.
No.
So I hope he stays for a while, but you never know. With Walking Dead, once you get a new character, he's basically dead in three episodes.
Or someone else dies to make room for a new character.
Exactly.
Who do you think's going? They keep hinting at a major death.
Okay.
At the end of this
season. So let's give our predictions.
Daryl.
Okay, wait.
You weren't ready for that.
I want to clarify what we're predicting.
The death.
By the end of the season or the next big death?
They keep claiming the finale has a major character.
Are we supposed to assume that no major character is going to die until the finale?
I don't think any of the the core group is going to die.
But what until would the finale. So out of the group right now, who would you say is the core?
I would say the core group is like people who have been there from like season 3. So it's like, you got to think. So you have Rick, you got Michonne, you got Daryl, Carol.
Carl.
Glenn, Carl, what's her name? Maggie.
Okay, yeah, Maggie.
I think that's it. Is that? Yeah, out of the core groups. And what's that one girl? The girl she's with James Hetfield looking guy. Abraham, she's always with Abraham. Sasha. Sasha's been around for a while at this point, too. But no one really cares about Sasha. Yeah, like, does anyone care about Sasha?
If you count her as a major character, she could easily go.
Well, maybe she'll go, but I'm saying I think Daryl's gonna go.
You think Daryl's gonna go?
Yeah.
Reason behind that? He's shooting too many movies right now.
That's what I said. He's shooting too many movies right now. And they keep kind of like scaling his character's importance back. Like, Daryl's not really on the show as much as he used to be.
Yeah, season and a half, he was such a dominant character in the beginning. At times, even more dominant than Rick.
Than Rick, yeah.
And now he's totally like, if he does die, it's not that big of a deal.
Because he's not really one of the main guys.
He's nothing now, yeah.
And I would have definitely said Glenn, but you can't kill Glenn last season.
He's unkillable.
Bring him back and then kill him again. Like, if they do that, I'm all for it. I hate Glenn.
I would agree that Glenn is probably on the no-kill list right
I think
now.
He's safe for right now.
I think he's safe. What about Maggie?
Maggie, they're not going to kill a pregnant chick again.
Right.
They're not going to do it again.
Again.
I think Carl is safe just because he just lost
an eye. He lost an eye. You got to give him some time.
Michonne and Rick are safe. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Yeah, Michonne's too cool to die.
No, now she's like Rick's love interest. He's not going to lose another love interest. He's already lost Lori and the blonde girl who's, you know, I don't remember her name. She's dead, though. If you didn't know. But it's only really Daryl or Carol who can possibly go. And I don't think it's going to be Carol.
It might be Carol.
It's one of those two, I'll say that. And they rhyme.
What if it's
Daryl, Carol?
Both of them.
That would be cool too.
Because I think there kind of is this theme in The Walking Dead when someone kind of shows some type of sensitivity or some type of like compassion, they die.
They die.
In the last episode, you didn't watch it, But, like, Carol was very, like, boy. She was faking shit in the beginning to try to, like, you know, turn him over and make him, like, kind of put him back on their heels a little bit. But, like, she really wasn't the fierce Carol that we were used to seeing. Like, she really did not want to hurt them for some, whatever reason. Yeah. I really don't even know what reason it was.
Because I think, like, 10-year-olds write this show.
Yeah, probably.
The writing's just getting worse and worse and worse.
It's so funny that The Walking Dead is arguably,
like, the most popular show on TV. Is that what's wrong with that?
No, I was saying how I feel like I want to watch the show, even though I know it's not a good show at all.
Yeah, and I think that's everyone tricked.
But I feel like that's impressive in a way.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Well, I'll give them that. I tune in I half tune in every Sunday, but I do tune in. I do watch it, and I know it's not going to be good.
What is it, like? Kind of like a zombie soap opera, almost.
I guess.
Like a thing.
I guess.
Like wrestling.
At this point, it's like a guilty pleasure.
Uh-huh.
I just got to stick with it, but I know it's crap.
Okay, moving on.
I feel like that's every time we bring up Walking Dead, we just sit here and hate on it. But then the next podcast, we're like, and then we'll start with Walking Dead.
Hey, hate watching is watching. You still get them the views, but yeah, you're right. We do bash on it pretty hardcore. Moving on, there are good shows on currently, and good shows that are beginning either now or very soon. But what else have you been watching, Mike?
Well, we both have seen Love.
Oh, yes, a Netflix series Judd Apatow produced called Love.
I'm one episode left, so I've seen the first 9.
Nice.
I just haven't seen the last 12.
Nice.
I'm very curious, so you finished it. I'm very curious as to how they actually wound up falling in love, if it happen.
Just refresh my memory, what's the last thing that happened?
Just Britta from Community and the main guy just are always fighting, and she was just at the party for, what song were they singing? Carlito's Way.
Yes.
Carlito's Way party. Oh no, she found out that he had sex with the girl from Wichita.
And she went to his
and
studio.
And she went to the studio.
That was a cool scene.
But like, it ended, and one episode left, I'm like, when do they fall in love? There's no love right now.
That was a cool scene though. Okay, yeah, the show, Jillian Jacobs and Paul Rust.
Rust, not Rudd. Rust. Rudd. Rust.
I'm like, Paul Rudd? No, it's Paul Rust. And,
His brother, friend is Saul Rudd.
yeah, those are the two main characters. It's kind of like your typical Judd Apatow, where it's kind of like a train-wrecked chick.
Yeah.
And, like, a geeky, but kind of
likeable.
Dickish. He becomes a dick.
You know what? Man, this is it's not a real spoiler if anyone out there is going to watch it, but I back him. I would be a little freaked out if someone just showed up at my job unexpected.
She's nuts. Like, she's, like, literally nuts on the show. And it's, like, he seems to... I agree with you. I think he gave her a long enough leash for a while to let her kind of go nuts without him blowing up on her. But now I'm just like, yeah, screw it. Sleep with this hot chick. Screw her. You know, just like... Like, it's ridiculous, but she kind of, like, think she's so selfish, and it annoys me how selfish she is on the show.
Yeah.
But it's still interesting to watch, because, like, who doesn't like watching a freaking train wreck of a couple or relationship?
It's a good show. It's funny.
It is funny.
Very funny.
It is very funny. Like, will we just explain what they do with their Paul Rust and his gatherings, singing theme songs?
I want to do this.
It's the coolest idea.
So they take movies that don't have theme songs, and just any random movie, and they come up with theme songs for the movie. So if you remember in the very first episode, you see him singing a song about the perfect storm.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
George Clooney.
Mark Wahlberg. The last episode was the Carlito's Way theme song.
Right.
I just think it's hilarious.
It's just everyone...
I can see why a girl would really want to go to this party, but I think it's pretty funny.
Right, but it's something that we're going to have to at least try.
I want to try.
We're going to try this out. But yeah, what else to take away? Birdie, greatest character.
Birdie is so funny.
Greatest character.
Such a good character.
And when I first saw her, I'm just like, oh, she's going to be a little annoying.
No,
I thought annoying at first, but then I'm just like, this is too funny. She is hilarious.
She's really good. I'm surprised that... I think Judd Apatow's daughter, who's on the show, I don't think she's too bad of an actress. She's a little girl that he tutors.
Oh yeah, that's right.
She does do a bad job. Yeah, and when you look at her, she does look good. What's her name? Leslie Mann. You see it. You see Leslie Mann. She's good. Paul Rust is real.
Paul Rust is awesome.
I can't remember anything else I've seen the actor in, but I think he does a great job.
He does a killer job.
And I love Julian Jacobs.
Julian does a really good job too. It's I think it's fairly strongly written. Well acted.
And you know what it is, too? I really had zero expectations for it. I probably would have never even watched it if you didn't say you were watching it.
Right,
and I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. But it was a nice little, you know, pleasant Netflix surprise.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 10-episode, half hour each, and it goes by, and it's different, you know? It's not a cutesy, like, romantic comedy.
No.
It's a lot more dramedy than anything else, but it's kind of, it's fascinating to see these type of representations of people in this kind of toxic relationship trying to figure their way out. And I don't know. I liked it. I would give it like...
How many gums?
7 to 7.5.
You always say 7.5 gums.
I feel like you said that to me last time when I said 8.
It's always in that 7.5 and 8 is there. It's like the same amount of gums.
Would you not agree that this is like a 7 to 7.5 gums?
I mean, I'd write it at 7.5.
So, yeah, so don't give me shit.
Fine, it's 7.5 gums.
7.5 gums for season 1 of Love. Anything else about Love we want to say before we move on?
No, I mean, I still have to watch the finale. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I just remember. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll keep you updated. If it's more than 7.5 gums next podcast, I'll let you guys know.
Well, the way you went with Narcos, this might take a month or two.
No. My new Narcos is Fargo. I'll finish Fargo somewhere around 2017. Like, maybe early 2017. Who's walking in? I think we have a guest.
Ooh. Guest number one. Come on up.
Who is it?
Come on up.
Oh, it's Satan. We have Satan coming in, everyone. What else have you been watching? That you want to talk about?
Well, we should introduce Poli.
Well, Ricardo is here.
Oh, hey, guys.
It's his first podcast appearance.
We're podcasting. What are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about shows, but soon we're getting into music festivals and music, so you'll have a lot
to jump right on in.
Shitaro.
Like I was talking to you before, I watched the first episode of The Americans.
Yeah.
It just premiered this week. I personally think Americans is one of the strongest dramas on TV right now. And it's just going to continue to be. FX shows are killing it. Are they not killing it?
Fargo, Americans, I mean, Horror Story makes a lot of money.
Right. But like, I heard Justified was really good.
Justified.
People really enjoy this O.J. Simpson show.
I really want to check that out.
Right? Like, I feel like they're killing it.
Juice.
And you love Juice. Always Sunny and those shows, you know? So like,
I'll say it again, the season Always Sunny is the best in like 8 years.
There's your segue, go. Talk about Sunny for a couple minutes. That was it, okay.
The best. It's a really good season.
Is it almost done?
It just ended. I didn't see the last episode.
Holy, have you been watching the season of It's Always Sunny?
I watched one episode where Frank just like trips. Doesn't he trip?
Oh, being Frank. It's all in the point of view of Frank.
Yeah. It's like Frank's day, just a regular day, and it was insane. He would like was fucking running around. He took a bunch of drugs. Did he get arrested?
Hey, he does a lot.
I think he gets arrested.
It sounds like classic
Sunny. It was. Yeah, it was right? Return back to,
right, right.
to
back to form.
Yeah,
it's back to good, form.
Because... original form through a. Through different eyes, looking at through Frank's eyes, you always think he's a psycho with no rhyme or reason, and you finally see...
He is.
But I couldn't believe when you said they're on... It's like the 11th
season. It's the 11th season, yeah.
That's insane.
A lot of credit goes out to Sonny.
11?
Crazy.
What else? I've been watching Vinyl.
How many episodes in? 2, 3?
No, 5 episodes in.
What? Wait, what? Are you serious?
5 episodes in. Even if... you watch the show, even if you're not really interested in the music industry or, like, you know, classic rock from the 70s, it's worth it just to see Bobby Cannavale's reactions to doing cocaine. Like, he'll do a line, and then it's just, like, he turns into Jim Carrey from The Mask. Like, his head starts spinning, he's screaming, like...
I didn't even know Olivia Wilde was in that show.
She can act! I had no idea she could act until this show.
She's a great actress.
I didn't know she was a great actress.
She's a good actress.
I thought she was just really pretty.
Oh, I didn't watch her when she was on. She was on, like, the second half of that show, though, right?
Yeah. I thought she was
one of the
really
interns
pretty.
Or something like that. Or?
No, she was a doctor.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, she's a doctor.
Yeah,
she's awesome. She's really good on it.
She was a bisexual, like, super smart doctor who, like, you don't know if she wants to, like, S your D or, like, crunch your V.
Wait, on House?
Yeah.
I did hear about that.
No, yeah, she was.
I just knew her as the hot chick on House, you know?
What's that for?
There's no rhyme or reason to the button that
Mike said. That's her name.
Is that Taps?
But what else has Olivia Munn... No, not Munn.
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Munn stars in my fantasies every night.
Olivia Wilde, like, she's not good in anything.
I've only seen her really on Portlandia. And she always plays the same stupid bimbo character on Portlandia.
What? She's in something right now, isn't she? Isn't like there's a big show that she's in right
Vinyl.
Now?
Vinyl. She's on Vinyl. Oh, Vinyl. Yeah, Vinyl.
I'm talking about, like, previously, like, I saw her in, what, The Change Up?
I saw her in Girls Gone Wild 13.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
What? Where's a copy of that videotape?
Well, you see Olivia Wilde naked on the show all the time. That's the second reason. You see her naked all the time. She's naked on the show a lot.
I'm going to start watching Vinyl tomorrow.
Interesting.
Speaking of other very attractive naked leading women... this season of Shameless is also on point.
Ah, Emmy.
A lot of naked Emmy Rossum.
She was always naked on the show, right?
But more so now, because I feel like...
The show's still going on.
It's still going.
They need her naked.
I was going to say, because the storyline is like so like played out. Like, just get naked.
When did it stop being good?
I mean, it starts S&Ds.
I mean... So every season of Shameless is like a roller coaster. Like, it will either, at some point, you're going to hit a peak and it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then you just take a big dip until you hit the next peak. So this whole season, one of the characters, Debbie, the young girl, is pregnant on the show. And it's like, now we're like 9 episodes in. It's just like, all right, I get it. The family's getting torn apart.
Is that like the
main story of the season? Yeah, she's pregnant. Like, whatever. But they show the preview for the next episode, and she has the baby the next episode.
Okay, finally.
So something...
Debbie has the baby?
She has the baby next episode. So something's gotta happen.
Right.
And Shameless is known for taking really happy moments and shitting all over them. So I could see, like, the baby dying. Yeah, I could see something really bad happen.
Born with no brain.
Yeah. The baby has no brain. So I don't know. I could see something like that happening.
Right, right.
But I mean, I don't know. It's all right. At this point, you just know. You just know what to expect from Shameless. Like, William H. Macy is gonna be a complete fucking degenerate.
Yeah.
Lip Phillip. He's one of the characters on the show. He's always on some kind of drug and torn up about some girl.
Did he get
the other gay guy is always about. He's bipolar and he's fighting with one of his lovers. But then there's always one main thing that's going on, so I think this baby thing might be like the peak of this season.
A 10 episode season, usually?
12 episodes.
12?
Okay. Yeah.
What episodes are on?
This is 9 or 10 on Sunday.
Oh, sick.
Not bad.
Oh, sick.
Not
so something's got to happen on Shameless.
Not too shabby. What else?
I don't think that... What else am I watching right now? I'm slowly trying to finish Fargo. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's it for the shows
Fargo.
I'm watching. I haven't been watching Workaholics.
Oh, you used to love that show.
I love Workaholics. For the first few episodes I saw, I think I said it on one of the podcasts, it's just like, it's pretty, it's not the same when you're looking at them doing the stuff they did like 6 seasons ago now that they're like 30. Like, it's not as believable. You're just like, come on.
You were
kind
of saying that with like Sonny too, though.
Sonny found that magic again. It's even better than it ever was.
I watched the comedy block on Tuesdays on Fox, where it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine, New Girl,
you
and,
love Brooklyn
and The Grinder.
Nine-Nine.
Those shows are pretty... It's just fun. It's just fun to watch those shows. Brooklyn Nine-Nine's great. A great show. There's nothing unfunny about that show. And then New Girl's a little bit more like that romantic comedy type of sitcom, which is solid. And then The Grinder, I think, is a great... premise of the show. I still crack up. You have to like Rob Lowe and his ridiculous.
I like Rob Lowe though.
If you like Rob Lowe and Fred Savage is on it too. It's a great show. I would just watch like 2-3 episodes. The first 2-3. If you don't like it, just don't watch it.
Stop it.
I would recommend it. I would recommend watching The Grinder.
No, I'm about to finish. I'm like a year behind everyone else, but I'm about to finish Parks and Rec.
Oh, you never finished
it. I never finished it. I got one episode left.
Oh no, really?
So I didn't watch it with you. I'm down, man. I'm down.
I might cry.
Well, that's the thing. I was really hating on this season to begin with, but now that we're getting towards the end, like, every episode is really, like, you know, like, mushy, and there's always, like, sentimental moments, and you're, like, saying goodbye to these characters.
The greatest part about the last season is, yeah, you're just saying goodbye to everyone,
so, individually. Like, it's growing on me. I really hated it the first few episodes, but I'm liking it a lot now.
Because it's so weird, because it's just such, like, a flash-forward type of season.
And yeah, like, well, really? 3 years
in the future, right? It's so weird. Like, I'm like, had a sitcom ever done this, like, for a whole, like, a short of a season? It's weird. But yeah, the last episode.
But I'm right. Yeah, tomorrow I plan on finishing Parks and Rec. But
it's a great last episode. Mike also has watched a couple movies.
Yeah,
but I want spoiler free comments.
All right,
so I want to see these movies.
Well, both the movies have big spoilers, so I'm going to keep it very simple then. So The Witch is. I'll say this. It's slow, but if you know. You're going to be committed because you're going to pay the
money.
Mike
is a horror junkie.
I'm a horror junkie.
How would it rank upon what did it do as a horror film for you?
The last 30 minutes, actually of both the movies, but I'll start with The Witch. The last 30 minutes of The Witch is really dark.
Yeah.
Like, it's very slow, there's not much that happens, it's creepy throughout the whole movie, but then you hit the last 30 minutes, and it's like...
What's the setting of The Witch?
So The Witch takes place in, like, you know, 1790, something like that.
Okay.
Salem Witch Trials.
So it's a Witch Hunt type thing.
Yeah, Witch Hunt type thing. This family gets banished from their community, and they're out in the woods on their own, and in the woods... Creepy things happen, and they
get banned because they think they're witches, or
no, they want to practice their own religion.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Now they're
out there.
It's a no-no, and they're out there, and creepy things start happening, and the kids claim that they see a witch. They're right; they do see a witch. That's not a spoiler. The title movie.
The title is called The Witch.
But like I said, the acting's kind of the accents that they have. It's kind of tough to follow sometimes because they're like the old English.
Yep, okay,
but The child actors are really good, especially the little boy. He has a Dano-esque scene. Very Dano-esque. It reminds me of Dano in There'll Be Blood when he has his sermon. It's a really, like, terrifying scene. It's really intense.
For whoever doesn't know, like, Mike loves
Dano. I love Paul Dano.
So that's actually a compliment.
It's a huge compliment.
Some people would be like, oh, that's terrible to be like Dano.
No. I don't want to know who these people are. But he... he gives a great performance. The little girl gives a great performance. And the ending... The last 30 minutes are absolutely terrifying. Now, the last 30 minutes of Cloverfield Lane aren't necessarily terrifying, but you are on the edge of your seat the entire time. It's so much suspense. John Goodman is absolutely terrifying in this movie. He might be the scariest person I've ever seen in my life.
But because of his...
I think it's a big part of it is it looks like he's gained more weight. Somehow John Goodman got fatter. And the idea of just having someone who's like 400 pounds coming at you nowhere to go in a bunker is pretty terrifying.
I would not want to be in that situation.
But the premise of that is, you'll probably know.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Her. She's hot in a car accident, very hot. She's in a car accident, she wakes up, she's in a bunker. John Goodman claims that since the time that she's blacked out and she wakes up, that nuclear holocaust has happened. They can't go outside because the air is contaminated, and John Goodman, and you know, you as the viewer, you're unsure as to what the attack was. Was it like other countries? Is it an alien? Something like that.
Right.
And the whole movie, you're pretty much trying to figure out, as Mary is, as it's going along, is John Goodman telling the truth? Or is he just some psychopath who wanted to kidnap some girl?
Right.
And you know, I'm not going to spoil anything.
No, I think it's a really legit setup. It's a cool setup for a movie.
Ready? 8.5 gums.
Eight and a half. Whoa.
It was really... I'll give like 7 gums.
Okay.
Cloverfield Lane was really good. I'll give it 8.5 gums.
Nice. I definitely want to see Cloverfield Lane.
And I highly recommend it. The ending is awesome. Because my biggest fear throughout the movie was they're not going to be able to tie this up and have it, like, be really believable. Like, use the viewer and just be like, oh, what a cop-out. Like, what a crappy ending. But they did a great job at tying everything together and putting together a solid ending. You won't be disappointed by the
ending. Cool. I have a question, but if there's spoilers, don't answer it. Is there any reason why the Cloverfield name Is there anything to do with
it? Has nothing to do with Cloverfield.
Do you know why did they call it? What is there a reason?
It's the street, obviously, is Cloverfield Lane, but like, the house is on. Why they use Cloverfield? I don't know. Maybe because J.J. Abrams produced it.
And he just likes Cloverfield.
He's like, Force Awakens Lane doesn't make any sense, so we'll go Cloverfield Lane.
I heard he's not doing any more Star Wars.
Yeah, he's done.
Not Star Wars.
Because I've already had the highest grossing movie of all time.
Like how much higher can I go from here?
He's not going to do the other two Star Wars?
I heard
Wars?
That. Yeah.
What a fucking...
Yeah. What a douche. Yeah,
fuck him. Fucking dick. Dick, what's... Isn't he the one that made three movies of The Hobbit?
No, no.
Who's the one that did that?
That's Peter Jackson. Jackson.
Oh, he's a dick too. He's a dick for that. He's an asshole. That movie did not even be three movies long. That book did not need to be three movies long.
It did not. It did not. But, alright, so what else?
Ah, that's...
I haven't watched
the movie. You haven't seen any movies?
I don't think I have.
Well, next podcast, I'll be able to review Pee-wee. I'm going to watch that probably tonight or tomorrow.
Nice.
Pretty excited.
Are you going to see Batman vs. Superman?
Depending on the reviews. I'm not going to go see it like opening night. I don't care that much. Mm-hmm. But depending on the reviews, I'll check it out. I don't think there's anything really coming out in the next few weeks.
I mean,
really
it is March. So that's kind of a really down.
Yeah, but I don't know. Cloverfield Lane came out last week. And that
I feel like this year has been strangely positive. Like, Zootopia has a 99% of Rotten Tomatoes. It's supposed to be probably the highest rated movie of the year already. And it's only March.
It's only March.
It's only March. Yeah. Okay. So what do you want to do first? You want to do music festivals? You want to do emo albums, right?
I say we have our guest decide. Because he's going to be able to chime in for both.
Paul, we have two segments coming up. We want to talk about summer music festivals and kind of rank them in order based on the lineup and everything coming up this year, which one's the best. And then we have Rolling Stone magazine released their 40 greatest emo albums of all time.
Oh, emo albums?
And we're going to come up with our own list.
Yeah, on their list and also albums that they excluded from their list.
Okay.
That we...
Those are both pretty good.
or option number three.
I like music festivals.
It's cool. Music festivals. Cool. Okay.
All right. So,
oh, yeah.
Let me see this list.
Okay.
Is it master list?
No, I only have one, but I'll just spill out. I have Coachella, Beale Street,
I didn't know Beale Street,
Hangout Fest, Sasquatch, Governor's Ball, Bonnaroo, Firefly, and Panorama.
All right.
Those are the summer ones that I have.
I would say...
Are there any ones that I'm missing?
Lollapalooza hasn't been announced.
Right, exactly, so we couldn't do that.
That's it. I think that's the only other big one.
Right.
Shaky Knees isn't really like one of the top ones.
Right. Okay. So you want me to just read the info and then we talk about it? I don't know how you want to do it.
Let's Mountain Jam.
Well, Mountain Jam, that doesn't compete with, like, these.
Like, giant ones?
Yeah, it's not in the same,
Yeah, because there's so many across the country nowadays.
There's so many. It's kind of ridiculous. I only pulled this from another article that stated the 20 best music festivals, and okay. I'll just pull some of those from here.
Well, we're going to look at them and figure out what the best bang for your buck is, right? Because, like, you have the money for each one.
Right, yes. Yes, I do.
You do, friend. I noticed that.
Yes, I do. And maybe a location might matter.
It might. Okay. It might. What is... I'm looking at Beale Street because I've never heard
of it. You want to start with Beale Street?
Yeah, I've never heard
okay.
of it.
Okay, Beale Street. It's an April through May festival in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah,
it's
pretty good.
Right?
Yeah, actually...
I was trying to think of where Beale Street was. Memphis.
Have you been there?
No, but it's in that song, Walking in Memphis.
This, that lineup, and it's look, $135!
Yeah. Paul, you want to hear this lineup?
Yeah.
For a weekend, $135 for the weekend, you get Neil Young, Weezer... Train, Panic at the Disco, Young the Giant, that's Friday. Saturday you get Meghan Trainor, Jason Derulo, Modest Mouse, Cypress Hill, Bare Naked Ladies, and Violent Femmes. And Sunday you get Beck,
and
Paul Simon, Zedd, Cold War Kids, Bastille, Courtney Barnett, and Indigo Girls.
You'd pay that much to see Paul Simon.
Right.
You'd pay $135 to see Paul Simon.
You think about it.
That's a great fucking fest.
$135. Yeah. You're basically paying other fest. If you can go single days, they're gonna be over $100. You're paying $130.
Single days, $45.
Right. Imagine just paying that.
I want to go to single day just for Sunday.
Beck, Paul, Simon.
You go visit Elvis's house on Saturday.
Yeah. Right. It's pretty. That's a good deal.
I don't even need to see the other ones. Well, the other one's like $400. Yeah. That one wins.
That might be your best bang for your buck.
I know, at least because I follow this stuff, Coachella is definitely the crappiest.
All right, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
The headliners are LCD, Guns N' Roses, and Calvin Harris. Those are the three big headliners. That sucks.
For $400.
Usually Coachella is so good.
Yeah, Coachella is really good.
Coachella is always like, oh, if it wasn't in California.
You know what? First off, Calvin Harris is not a headliner. Maybe he is, and I just don't know about that music. But he's not like main festival, main stage headliner for a day.
Yeah, for Sunday too.
You're not putting him
out. You can't. He's the last performer of the entire festival.
That's absolute crap.
It's kind of ridiculous.
And I feel like they really were ambitious with Guns N' Roses.
Yes, yes.
And it's not going to be nearly as good as they think it's going to be.
Yeah.
There's questions on whether that's even happening.
Because
Axl Rose and Slash are fighting, and now that might not even happen. Yeah.
How are they fighting?
And what's his name? The bassist is saying he's out. He doesn't want to do the shows.
Oh, my God. That's
so it's already... Izzy Stradlin? Yeah. It's already falling apart.
Wow,
so,
that's terrible.
I mean, I'm big on LCD.
So
we got our boy Sufjan. Like, the first night's good.
M83.
But yeah, Saturday, I'll see Gary Clark and Run the Jewels.
Oh, yeah.
ASAP Rocky, I like too.
And then Sunday, relatively weak.
Sunday sucks. Sunday,
I said it nicely.
No. Beach House isn't a good festival band. The 1975...
Would Sufjan be a good festival band?
No, but I just really like Sufjan. But no, you're right.
No, if he's playing Age of Ads, though.
Exactly.
If he's doing a little Age of Ads, it would be amazing festival music. He should headline if he does Age of Ads.
Forget Calvin Harris. Just have Sufjan do Age of Ads. No, I mean, Mike Snow's good, but he's not worth, like, a ticket.
I've seen Mike Snow once, that's all I have to say.
Ed Sharp's awesome. I've never seen him live, though.
I've never seen him live, either.
Ed Sharp, you didn't see him at Bonnaroo? Maybe it was a year that you didn't go.
I don't know.
I've seen Ed, I mean, he's good, but again, it's not, this is $400.
Really, that's a lot of money.
It's really, the only thing I'm looking at is I'm paying $400 to see LCD. Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy.
I used to run the Jewels.
But I've seen Run the Jewels. Yeah. Well, but you're right. Run the Jewels puts on a really good show.
And the thing is, they're both playing at Panorama.
And they're both playing...
That Panorama Festival sounds great.
All right, let's go to Panorama. Right? Panorama. That's what we're talking about it.
What's the one in Barcelona?
That one's unfair.
That's cheating.
Unfair. When is
that's
that?
Cheating.
That's Radiohead and thinking, LCD and, like, everyone.
I was talking to Liz.
We get up for a second?
I don't know.
Sat on the bag.
I don't even know where it went.
Oh, there it is.
That's like Radio at LCD. I think Paul Simon's also playing that. The Grateful Dead are playing that. Like, that one's just not
fair.
That one you can't even talk about.
That's like breaking the curve.
Yeah.
Right there. You're not. But Panorama...
In terms of lineup, I think Panorama is actually the strongest out of all of them.
Panorama's July 22nd to 24th weekend in Randall's Island.
You got Arcade Fire and Alabama Shakes on the first night. You got Kendrick, The National, and Sufjan on the second night. And then you got LCD, ASAP, and Run the Jewels the third night.
Those are just solid acts.
It's a very solid.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, Panorama is really the best bang for your buck.
The thing about Panorama is, like, the cost is high, but they don't throw fillers in it. Everyone's, like, last couple acts are just, like, I would pay, like, $100 to see each one.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and typically, you'd pay, when I tried to see Kendrick Lamar in October, it was $150 for a ticket.
Right, right. So, like, it's definitely...
Arcade Fire concerts are, like, $100.
The only question I have about Panorama is I don't know how it's set up. I don't know if there's two stages going
out
at once.
It's the first festival. It's the first time they're ever doing
right,
this. So
okay.
They're definitely going to be working out
some
kinks.
Is there going to be overlapping?
I'm sure they're going to... It's going to be a disaster in terms of the scheduling.
Because that could suck.
Like, well, obviously, like, if you're just there for the three main acts, you're fine.
Right, of course.
But
of
if
course.
You really want to see any of those additional acts...
Right, right. That's going to be tough, you know.
But Panorama's good. My biggest fear, if you want to talk about festivals at Randall's Island with overlaps, is I have never seen Beck. I've never, ever seen Beck. And I really would love to see Beck.
All right, we're talking about Governor's Ball.
Now we're going to Governor's Ball.
Okay, Governor's Ball is the early June, also in Randall's Island.
I've never seen Beck. My favorite band is The Strokes. They're both playing the same night, and there's a very good chance that they're both playing at the same time.
Right. They should split them up.
If they have any sense, they put Robin
at the same time
as the Strokes and have it go Beck Strokes.
Because that's different types of music. You should split it up like that. You shouldn't have Strokes and Beck.
If they're going to do it right, they're going to do it like that.
I think they will do it like that. I think so.
Really hope so. Really hope so. Because I don't want to have to make that choice. I really don't.
What would you do? Half and half? Are you a half and half?
No, I'd see the Strokes.
Yeah.
I'd see the Strokes.
You'd see the Strokes?
Yeah.
You've never seen Beck.
I'd see the Strokes, my favorite band. I have seen the Strokes. But that would suck. But alright, so now Governor's Ball. Governor's Ball, in my opinion, is the second best out of all the main ones. So we have Friday, we have the Strokes, Beck, Robin, Monsters and Men, Father John Misty, Block Party, Matt and Kim. Saturday, we have the Killers, M83, Haim. Mike Snow, Miguel, The Purity Ring, Against Me, Catfish the Wild Men, and then Sunday, Kanye, Death Cab, Churches, Two Door Cinema, Gary Clark. It's a solid, solid lineup.
It's a very solid lineup.
I want you to remember I'm saying this because I don't think there's, out of anyone, both of you know, there's no bigger Kanye West fan than me. But I think they're going to regret putting him on to that lineup because... Really? Everything with his new album is such a train wreck. I think he's gonna suck. I think he's gonna be so bad.
Oh, man.
I think he's like, I don't know what Kanye's thinking, but like.
What's up with his new album?
Probably want some of this? You want some
it's just a mess.
Do you have any?
Yeah.
The new album's been out for 4 weeks now, and every day he puts out new versions of the song.
What?
He takes the old version off and puts a new version out. So as a listener, you can't even like get used to his new album because it's changing every day. It's a mess. Kanye West is a mess.
That's Kanye for
his new album. And I'll be honest, his last album, the first time I listened to it, I hated Yeezus. It took me a long time to really have Yeezus grow on me. I, you know, appreciate it for what it is now. I think it's great. But this album, he's not even giving me the chance to have it grow on me because he keeps changing it every damn week. So, I don't know. I think, you know, the Strokes will be great. The Killers are an amazing live band. All the supporting acts are good. But kind of like what I said with Coachella, putting a lot of stock into Guns N' Roses... I think Governor's Ball put way too much stock in Kanye. And, I mean, I've seen him before. If he doesn't rant and talk about bullshit for like half his set, it's a really good show. But he will.
He always does.
He always does.
And that can ruin.
And I think it's going to ruin the set. I don't know if it's going to be a good set.
And it's got a Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroo.
You guys are Bonnaroo heads. And
Bonnaroo,
what do you think about Bonnaroo this year?
It's tough for me to say. Bonnaroo... for the experience is always worth the ticket. I feel like in terms of music festivals, you will never ever go to a better music festival than Bonnaroo.
LCD and Pearl Jam are playing at Bonnaroo?
Yeah, LCD and Pearl Jam are playing at Bonnaroo.
That's so ridiculous.
You'll never have a better experience, concert experience than Bonnaroo. But the problem with Bonnaroo is, all right, so you just heard Poli say LCD and Pearl Jam. There's also Dead & Company, which... you know, they'll probably put on a good show.
That could be cool to say.
Sure they will.
But they are really lacking in supporting acts this year. And that's what always made Bonnaroo worth it.
Yeah.
Just like you have all those acts that you have those headliners, but you, like, we saw, like, Alabama Shakes play at, like, you know, a little dinky stage on Thursday night before there were anything. Like,
right.
That was the cool thing about Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
And I looked at the lineup. It killed me to not buy Bonnaroo tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the lineup's nowhere near as good as it's been. Their main rap act is J. Cole. Who cares? Who cares about
that's
J. Cole?
True. They got your boy Macklemore in there.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I love Downtown,
you wouldn't. Yeah.
It's Macklemore not... is not worth the $400 for the ticket to go down there. M83 is playing every festival. Churches is playing every festival.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to get on that too. These bands, just like there's a handful of bands that just play every festival.
But I mean, my point is, if you want to see them, you can see them anywhere.
Right,
Father John Misty, you can see them anywhere.
Yeah.
Death Cab for Cutie is playing a Governor's Ball.
Right, right.
You don't need to go. There's nothing like all right. The best year of Bonnaroo ever was when it was Radiohead. It was Radiohead, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I think like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
1 year, like
that's crazy.
Every night, it's like a headliner. Like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm going to see this band now.
It's definitely
that's
not
completely
that.
Worth it. Now, don't get Pearl Jam is that band.
Yeah.
LCD is that band. But Dead and Company, it's not the Grateful Dead, it's John Mayer playing Grateful Dead covers. Like, come on, don't make it out
is that what it is?
That's yeah. all it is. That's all it is. It's John Mayer.
I like John Mayer, Blues of John Mayer.
But come on.
I like Blues of John Mayer.
But not like the main
I'm
act.
I'm going to Bonnaroo. I think
two
I'm going
sets,
back
man.
To the room.
2 cents he's playing.
I gotta go back to the room.
I would love to go back to the island. I would love to go back to the island. But I don't know. This year, because I already had tickets for Pearl Jam.
Right.
So that was the
oh,
one
yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
I'm going to see them at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
If I didn't get tickets, then I
then
really would have considered Bonnaroo.
Mm-hmm.
LCD, I know they're going to add a Madison Square Garden show. I probably won't have luck with it like happened today with Radiohead, but I know it's
so
going
annoying.
To happen. So that's why I didn't go back to Bonnaroo, but I will never say bad things about Bonnaroo. If you're going... The two listeners out there, if you decide to go to Bonnaroo, you'll
Bonnaroo.
Have a great time at Bonnaroo.
It's the weekend after
Governor's Ball. What else didn't we touch?
All right, let's talk about
Hangouts.
They don't have days broken down yet, but that's the lineup.
See, Hangout Fest is weak because the main act is the weekend. That's
yeah,
crap.
That is the
that's
biggest
really
act.
Crap.
The biggest act
you
is the
like
weekend.
You don't like the weekend either? It's not bad.
No, but as the main
the
act,
the big,
no.
The big draw.
There's no way.
It would be
yeah.
good as like one headliner.
Playing like
the
weekend deserves to be like that 1 a.m. slot at Bonnaroo. That'd be cool. He doesn't deserve to be 10 p.m. and then the show ends.
Yeah.
But yeah, according to this, the headliners are The Weeknd, Calvin Harris, and Florence and the Machine, with the Alabama Shakes as well.
Like you said, and then I'm seeing like you know Lenny Kravitz, Cage the Elephant's all right, Run the Jewels again, really good. But I don't know, no,
right?
I don't. Hangout Fest is a lot cheaper.
I did put this that it's cool because it's actually the whole festival was on a beach.
That, but their lineup last year was way better.
Right?
I almost went to Hangout Fest last year.
It was really good last year.
This year it's definitely lacking.
It fell down. Then we have Sasquatch and end of May in Washington. It's a 4-day fest. What do we got her?
Yeah, Sasquatch, that's... Now I remember. M83 was the main...
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I was like,
that's pretty bad.
Had pillows in the crowd when people
Cure's
go to sleep.
The Cure's playing, though. That's pretty cool.
That is, but, like, maybe for one day. The Cure and, like, Alabama Shakes would be a good day to go.
Hey, come on. Look at headliner for Friday. When the fire starts to burn. When the fire starts to burn. It's a spread.
That's the whole song.
That's the whole 40-minute set.
And we got Florence with Sufjan.
I love Sufjan.
Love Sufjan. Now, yeah, so that's another week, a week lineup.
I'll stick with what I said before. I think Panorama, Governor's Ball, Bonnaroo are the three best. Coachella is the worst. Coachella is a real letdown.
Coachella.
I think that was all of them. Oh no, Firefly.
Oh, we gotta get to Firefly. Where the hell's that? Here it is. Firefly. They
Firefly has got. It was the blandest group of headliners ever. It's like
Mumford
they pulled it from
Kings
like a Gap Store playlist. Like, oh, we got Mumford and Sons, Kings of Leon, Florence and the Machine, Deadmau5.
It's weak. It's very. Deadmau5. It's very weak, honestly. Firefly somehow sometimes gets good
like,
headliners.
Tame Impala's cool. Blink-182 is a nice thing to throw in there because, you know, it's that nostalgia factor.
Right,
because
they
don't play festivals.
Exactly, they're not playing every festival. It's got to be cool, but like you said, you go to music festivals for the headliners, basically.
Yeah.
And if you don't have strong headliners...
You're lost.
I ain't going to be there.
I'm not paying $40 in traveling to go there.
Exactly. So, Paulie, what do you think is the strongest... festival lineup this year. You seem to really be on
really like
Bonnaroo's
lineup.
Right?
I think Bonnaroo's lineup's fucking awesome. Gubball's pretty good. Gubball is good. Panorama also seems pretty fucking great.
Panorama is
number one.
It's my favorite headliners.
Yeah.
But I feel like because it's a first time festival, it might be a little more messed up than usual.
It always Firefly.
Come on,
first
you went
year
to the first
chaos,
Firefly, yeah.
Right?
It was like
that could kill a whole memory of a festival if it's really badly organized.
Or you just get to do whatever the fuck you want.
Oh,
awesome.
That's true. Because
like they just don't.
But
know,
there's no
like,
camping in this one either. So like, well, it wasn't
true.
Camping for Firefly either. You said right.
No, Firefly.
Oh,
camping.
What's camping? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole Randall's Island thing. The traveling that could just be a pain in the.
I mean, you gotta go through it for Governor's Ball unless you
right,
do.
But that's kind of fluent.
Do urban camping again.
Urban camping is good.
Hilarious. Your cabin in Queens. Yeah, we got this whole little shanty in Queens.
All right, so what are we saying? Panorama?
I'm saying Panorama is the best lineup. Ball,
Bonnaroo.
I think Panorama is the best lineup. I think the best bang for your buck is Governor's Ball. The best actual festival for the experience is Bonnaroo. And then, you know, I've never been to Coachella. I have a lot of hate for Coachella. I've never been there.
Coachella is very, like...
Yeah, Coachella sucks. Get out of here, Coachella. Get the fuck out of here, Coachella.
You're such haters. Right?
Yeah, I hate Coachella. No, it sucks.
East Coast bias right there.
Yeah, fuck you. But, I mean, I bought Governor's Ball. I'm happy I'm going to Governor's Ball. I do kind of wish I was going to Panorama, but whatever. I'm happy with my choice. I get to see the Strokes.
So out of the smaller ones, which one do you think is kind of solid?
What is it called? Beach Street?
Beale?
Yeah, that one.
Beale Street, Simon.
Beale Street, if I get my bonus check, I think I'm going to Beale Street. I'm good for right now. I might actually last minute buy tickets to that if I want to get a commission check.
For Beale Street.
Hangout Fest sounds like a good time if they had a good lineup on the beach and everything. That sounds like a cool time. Alright, so that's our 2 cents.
There are 2 cents on the festival.
We keep saying that.
Now, let's have a lot of fun.
Emo.
Let's talk about emo albums.
We were just talking about Blink-182. Do you think Blink-182 would be, like, an emo?
Well, that's one thing we have to discuss right now. What is emo music?
It's very broad. That's such a broad...
I think you could make it pretty specific, though. Yeah. That would help.
Well,
what to you guys? What is, like, what... If you had to describe it, how would you describe emo music?
I'm whining music.
I'm whining.
Oh, my life is so hard.
So everything is whining. It's all about whining.
Think about in your head, like, some of your favorite emo albums. Are any of them not whining?
They are very whining.
Yeah.
That is the that is the way you sing emo music. It's whiny.
You whine.
It's definitely whiny.
It's just... What you're describing right now is what emo music is all about. Like, the world just, like, doesn't understand me. Like, what gets me? It's so hard. And that's what's so good.
But I would argue that, like a band like Bright Eyes is pretty whiny, but I wouldn't consider them emo.
The first two albums...
What's the fucking first album called?
Mirrors is emo.
I would say that, but I would say, like...
Lifted's emo.
I don't know, Lifted and, like,
no, I'm Wide Awake. No, I feel like I'm Wide Awake is when he became more folky.
It's a little more folky. I would say Lifted is on the verge of... It's bigger than emo. Like, I feel like emo is a lot more, like...
Simplistic.
There's no horns and shit like that. Like, I mean, Lifted, it's a bigger sound. I wouldn't count that as emo, just because I feel like it's
not small.
Like,
political emo? Because that sounds very political.
Poly emo?
Big Picture?
That's very political.
Do you remember the first time we saw Bright Eyes and he opened with that?
Dude, awesome. It was just too good the first time we saw Bright Eyes.
For you.
Oh, yeah. You were so sick.
I had the flu and I got stuck right by a speaker and I went deaf. And
oh my god.
It was like one of the best lineup for any, like, single show.
Yeah, I know.
You really felt the emo at that
show. I was emo.
I was whiny while listening to
I was so whiny at that show. I hated it.
Good for you.
Well, no, going back.
Would you consider a cursive emo?
Yeah.
All of their albums? I would say only Domestika.
No. Ugly Organ is so emo.
It's so big, man.
Are you kidding?
It's started alive! I don't know, man.
That's the whole second half of the album is that.
Definitely not Happy Hollow. Definitely not emo.
Happy Hollow's not emo.
Okay, maybe
it's about the priest raping boys.
I don't know. I don't know if, like, emo could have the concept albums like Cursive. Every single album is a concept album. I don't know if that could be emo.
Domestika's emo. Ugly Organ's definitely emo.
Okay.
All right, so wait. Break out this list. All right, let's get going.
We got this. So we're going to talk about these albums. Look at this. You want to start out with Thursday?
Full Collapse? Emo.
Thursday?
Full Collapse is in my top 10.
Full Collapse by Thursday. Great album. What we got next?
Is that what we're going to say? Definitely emo. Great album.
Totally.
Totally emo.
Definitely emo.
All right, then we got
Jimmy Eat World.
Jimmy Eat World,
great album, definitely emo.
Definitely. I personally think Jimmy Eat World's like the most emo band that we're
ever.
I think it, my personal. I think they
more
are
more than the Get Up Kids.
I would say they have
more
I would
than
say,
wait.
I would say they're better in like I feel like Jimmy Eat World has like four or five really good emo albums. Like Get Up Kids only has two.
Better than Saves the more emo than Saves the Day. There's no
again. I would say they have better four or five better albums than Saves the Day. It's like two.
Bleed American and then what's the one after it? Futures.
Futures is great.
Those are the only ones I like.
Chase This Light is amazing.
Clarity is so overrated.
Clarity is overrated. I'll give you that.
So overrated.
But Chase This Light is one of my favorite Jimmy Eat World albums. Like all it's right. So good. Chase This Light is so underrated. But yeah, so. Surprisingly, next one's Saves the Day.
Yeah. They're the most emo band, in my opinion.
Being cool. Great album. Just out of these three, how are we have to kind
how
of
do I rank them?
We have to ooh, kind of put these
all right, all right. I like it.
Put them in order.
We have to put them in order.
What's yours, Foley?
I'm Fleet American. This is my fave.
Yeah, I have to go with that, too.
I'm going to actually go Saves the Day, Thursday, and then Jimmy Eat World.
Well, we outranked you because we're 2-1.
Right? Well, where's your second at?
My second... It would have to be Saves the Day.
All right. Pulley.
Thursday.
All right, we're going to war.
Oh, yeah.
What's
happening? Pulley just got like, what the hell? What does that mean?
We're going to war.
Wait, war? How does war work?
It's the game of war.
Cards?
Flip.
It's just the one card.
Whoever has the higher card, their album goes second.
Wait, who's who? Who's who?
I'm this one.
And you're for Thursday?
I'm for Saves the Day.
Oh, you're for Thursday. Okay.
Ready?
Go Saves the Day.
One, two, three.
Yeah!
Saves the Day! I was like, what?
Who's grandma is
that? You have to explain these cards, please.
All right, so
you have to explain these cards.
We needed a deck of cards last night. I don't have a deck, so I run downstairs. And apparently the only deck of cards my mom has is this commemorative deck that my cousin made when he had his babies.
Oh, this is sweet.
But
how awesome
it's just pictures
cards.
Of my family and babies on so the cards.
Who would use these to play anything?
I don't know.
He literally came up. Last night he came out and goes, I got cards, but we can't ruin them. Yeah, they're very important.
Commemorative deck.
I'm like, why would we use these cards then? But we didn't ruin them.
We didn't ruin them.
Yet.
No, not yet.
Yet. Next right. one. This is actually really high on the Rolling... These are all Rolling Stones, by the way.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to the ones that weren't on the list. But this was really high on the list. Fall Out Boy. From under the cork tree.
Chuck it.
We can chuck this.
Chuck it.
I think we should only make like a top 10 or 15 out of all of these albums. All
right. That is not in my top 10.
What do you think, Paulie, though?
Man, you can chuck that
Yeah, we're chucking it.
No way is it in a top
chuck.
10. I do like the first Fall Out Boy album, though.
Which one was that?
That's not that one, though.
No.
The first one's the one with Where is
Yeah,
you?
Grand Theft
I love that album.
that's actually a good song. I like that song.
I like that album.
I like that song. Here we go. Deja.
Top of the chart. top of the pops.
That has to be top. That has to be top.
This is... didn't we talk about this last podcast?
Yeah, you turned it off.
That's when I stopped reading the list.
It
was, that was 18 on the list.
It wasn't last
like,
podcast.
Bullshit.
It was 3 days ago when we were just...
No, I thought we were talking about it in the podcast, though, too. No? All right, yeah. That's the number one.
This
without
is
without a doubt, that's number
week.
One.
All right, next, the overrated Clarity.
Yeah.
We'll keep it on the bottom for now.
For now.
For now. We'll chuck
I don't
it
really
soon.
Know Clarity.
Exactly. You don't really have to. It's not that good.
Okay.
Bleed American is its peak.
Yeah.
Here we go. Some My Chem. Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge.
That's a really
great
good
album. It's
yeah.
a very good album.
I feel
album.
Like once they did that whole, like, you know, revamp their image and the whole Black Parade,
yeah.
and people started to discredit them,
uh-huh.
like, more of, like, an image than they are for, like, their music. Mm-hmm. That's a really
this
good
is a legit
album.
Album.
Yeah.
I would still put this under Thursday.
Nope.
Yeah, over Thursday?
I would put that
Thursday.
Number two.
I would put that
at number two?
I would, holy, I would actually, just in terms of album, were we talking,
yeah,
like,
what's
about
album?
Emo.
No,
emo
no, exactly. Albums. We're not talking about
this
good
album. Is so
album.
Emo.
We're talking about emo albums.
And it is really good.
It's Is it more emo than Jimmy Eat World, though?
The main single is I'm Not Okay. That's pretty emo. That's pretty
No way. No, I'm going to war for that. Either above or behind Jimmy Eat World.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I'll go to war. I like that better than Jimmy Eat World. Ready?
Okay. But more emo. It doesn't matter if you like it better. It's more emo. What is more emo? That's the whole
album.
It's
like about
it's
like,
not what's better.
I feel like they're like killing themselves and like lighting themselves
Jimmy
on fire.
Jimmy Eat World, every song is the most emotional.
Every song
you
to me
is
American.
The saddest thing
ever.
Well,
let's go to war. Let's
praise
go to war.
Praise Chorus. That's what I'm thinking. That's what yeah. They have a song about a fan that died and they wrote a song called it was just you hear you me. You cannot beat that. It better be Jimmy. Oh God, we're going to lose. No, we just lost
my chem.
That was a terrible.
My chem is our number two right
that
now.
That's a bad, bad break for Jimmy. All right, here we go. This was on the list.
Not in Casino Out.
Right.
Is Relationship Command on the list?
No, this was it.
Not
this
if was it. We cross out in Casino Out, put Relationship. But all right, but now we're really getting into is it emo or not?
Exactly.
Relationship of Command is not an emo album. It's a great album, but
right,
it's not an emo
But we're going
album.
With top emo albums of all time.
I would actually say Scratch It.
Scratch It.
I don't think there's anything emo about After Drive-In.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I was very surprised to see them on the list. Polly, weighing in. It's After Drive-In, an emo band.
Which After Drive-In album is this? I don't know After Drive-In by albums.
This album is the one, it's not as good as the main one. The main one's the one with like One Arm Scissor on it.
Alright, that's not this one.
That's
right.
Not that one. I don't even understand how this album's
on there.
Yeah.
We're just grabbing it. Next we got...
I wouldn't even know if I would call that album emo.
Exactly. Like, it's at the
no, that's what we're saying. Yeah, it's
I
just a good album.
Emo.
Oh my God,
Weezer.
Shit just got tough.
I mean, just because my chem's there, I'm saying this is going to be number two. I'm saying this is number two. Because I really don't think my chem should be that high.
I love that album, though.
I don't think... I love the album, but I don't think it's more emo than Jimmy Orr Saves
really
the Day.
On there?
You're more emo.
I don't know if I want this to be one or two. I forgot Pinkerton was on that list?
Yeah. These are ones on the list. Then I have some that aren't on the list, and then we have some write-ins later. Pinkerton is insanely emo.
Pinkerton is insanely
it's
emo.
It's just like, it's one of those albums where you can like probably scrap all the lyrics, and just the music is emo. Right?
Yeah.
It's insane. I would say, I would put it number two.
You know what? I have to put it two because I have to stand by
your principle.
There's nothing more emo than Deja. Yeah, so I right. put it two.
We're putting it number two because Paulie went out for a break. Alright, next one, Mike. The Used.
Not even self-titled in Love and Death?
I know, it's this one. This one's the more famous one.
No.
We could scrap this.
Self-titled,
right?
If
we
anything.
Scrap
yeah.
this. You're right, self-titled is pretty emo.
Way better. It's way better than that album.
Your favorite weapon, brand Nizzle.
I'll definitely
it's
put
pretty
it over.
Emo. I'll put
right.
it.
But now what you. Alright, so they're all these albums are emo.
Right.
They're all emo.
Right.
So now you
right.
also have to factor in, like, quality, which one's better than the other. I'll put it over Clarity.
I wouldn't say what's better, though. What's just more emo?
Your favorite weapon's really emo.
It is. I would put it, personally,
I'd
between
put it over
Jimmy
Saves
and Saves the Day.
Yeah, I'd put it
That's
there.
Where I would put
That's
it.
That's where I'd put it.
Let's see if Paulie agrees.
What?
Brand New, your favorite weapon, their first album. We want to put
it's
it
so emo.
Here. Right under Jimmy, but over Saves the Day. I think that's our best spot for it.
I guess that's fair. That's fair.
You really thought that fair. Through. I like it. I like the way you thought that through. Alright, next album. Taking Back Sunday, Tell All Your Friends.
I was
friends.
Just thinking in my head, when's this popping up? That's also, like, you know,
so
pinnacle
emo.
Of emo.
It's very pinnacle. It was almost like the prime time of emo-ness.
It came
out. That's what, like, kind of, like, launched their second album to be so big, because this one was so good.
Yeah.
And it was so emo. I like saying the word emo.
By the way,
there's a game. Every single time one of us says emo, you have to take a shot.
Alright.
Do it.
It's piss.
Alright, I'm putting it.
I put it under Weezer. I put it that high because, again, I feel like that's,
whoa.
Like, one of, like, the pinnacle of... That's a... And when you tell all your friends, you got your...
I mean, is there
yeah,
a way...
Where You Wanna
Where
Be.
Where You Wanna Be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a way we that could just bump really down My Chemical Romance? I really don't think it should be three right now. That's crazy.
You gonna challenge it?
No. We already went to war with this. I can't. But because My Chem's there, I would put it under Weezer. But if My Chem wasn't there, I would put this under Jimmy.
I would definitely put it under Weezer.
What do you think, Paul?
Someone definitely has a Jimmy Eat World bias in this group.
I think they're the most emo band there is. So I do.
I'd put it...
But I would say even...
Honestly, like, if we're... Again, I love
that album.
I'm having a hard time of,
I love
like,
it, but it's
a great album. Emo. Which one's more emo? If we're just talking in terms of emo, I think it's even debatable that it's over Weezer. This is such an emo album. It's like... It's girls and his friends are in the top emo band, and he's complaining about how they're not as cool anymore.
But every one of these are that, because they are great emo albums, so they're all about girls.
But it's also, it's an emo album about our top emo album. Like, they're even complaining about the top emo band right now.
It's everything.
Like, it's like, yeah, I don't know.
But I would still put Tell Your Friends more... around the Your Favorite Weapon era and style. I would say it's not close to Deja and Tandu's power.
It's not number one. I'm just saying it could be number two.
I'm putting it three.
I'm fine with being three.
Paul's good.
Cool, three.
Trace. This is kind of fun.
This is fun. You guys want some of this?
I haven't had it yet. I might. This is on the list. That was on the list.
That's the third album.
One, two. Yes, that's the third. That's the Welcome Home
Scratch
album, right?
Scratch
this shit.
Fuck it.
One and two, if anything.
So
yeah, fuck you.
We wrote those. I wrote those in. Here we go. Domestica by Cursive. So we were talking about Cursive beforehand, and how Tim is pretty emo.
So this, all right. Again, it's tough for me to distinguish. This is my third favorite album of all time.
Right, but we're thinking about.
But in terms of just emo, I would place it under Jimmy. I place it under Jimmy Eat World, right above Brand New.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, what do you think, Paulie?
It's emo, but is it like, you know...
Is it really
Taking Back Sunday?
Emo? So yeah, I agree with that.
Oh god.
All these dropping shit. What we got next? 4 Minute Mile, Get Up Kids was on the list.
Well, wait. Before I chime in, is Something Great Home Done? Right.
Well, it actually wasn't on Rolling Stone's list.
But you have
But I have. Oh,
okay, because that's...
You got the better one.
That's like top three.
That is easily top three.
4 Minute Mile...
That's like the saddest thing ever.
4 Minute Mile, I would place it... There, right under Thursday.
I would put over Thursday.
Okay, or over Thursday, I'm fine with that too.
Paulie, are you familiar with this album? Okay.
Fuck it.
So that was a no, by the way. So where do you want to put it? I'm putting it over Thursday or under Thursday. It doesn't matter. We could war it.
War it.
War it.
Dude, we barely get to war. Alright, so you're
this
doing
should it. Also, I think the picture that's on the back of it should be a point, too. Like, depending on how good the picture is, that'll give you, like, a little bit of a boost.
Oh, you mean, like, on the flip
like,
side?
Like, whatever the action
well,
is. Like,
I lost.
It's like,
I got a three.
I had four.
Oh, damn! Oh,
so cute. This would definitely win anyway.
This is a great idea, honestly, this card thing.
The playing cards?
Yeah. Next, we got Panic. To be
is
fair,
that the first one,
yeah.
To be,
I like their first album.
First album was like the anthem for college.
Yeah,
it really
so
was. Many nights I listened to this album.
The album flowed well.
Yeah,
the album
flowed really
very well.
Well.
But as an emo album, is it really emo?
I don't know.
It's less whiny than most of these albums. I would say. Would you think it's whiny? I don't think it's really whiny. He's like kind of just telling a story as a narrator most
of
the
time.
Yeah, I remember it's like a play almost.
Yeah, it's very like.
I'd put it here, under Thursday.
I would still put it under the Get Up Kids.
Under 4 Minute Mile?
Because that's so much like more emo than this album. This is a more production, like... It's a good album. No wrong. It's
no,
a good album.
Like I said,
but I'm saying, as an emo album, I would put it under
Every
Get
time
Up
I
Kids.
Hear that album, I think of college. Alright, I'm fine with it being under Get Up Kids.
Paulie, I mean... Okay, alright. I mean, these are probably going to get bumped anyway, because...
yeah, now we're going
we're
to...
Now
these are the write-ins?
No, not yet. These are still Rolling Stones.
That's so emo.
If you say the word emo, can you not think of Dashboard Confessional? Is there something more emo than that?
I've grown to really hate Dashboard Confessional.
Because they're so emo?
I don't even know how I
and
listen
whiny.
To Dashboard Confessional.
It's the most whiny
of whiny.
If what we were saying whiny defines emo. Is there a whinier?
Really? If we
saw, I mean, if that was the exact definition, this album would be
top. Like, right, I was just thinking that.
It would have to be top.
Right? Like, I'm gonna propose.
Let's just toss the album.
Because yeah, I don't want this to be the top album.
Let's toss it.
Do you guys agree?
We're tossing that.
You
want
it? It would be. It would be the top album. No, fuck you. Fuck you, Chris Caraba. I hate you.
That was kind of funny how that worked.
Toss it.
You were like, it's too easy. It's basically on steroids. It's illegal. It should be in the
list. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, performance enhancing whining.
You're fucking suspended forever.
Next one, we got Say Anything. It is a real boy.
That's a real emo album.
Super emo, great album, too.
Yeah, it's a really good album.
Were you at the show when these two albums were played in its entirety in one show?
I wish I was. No, I wasn't.
Where was that?
Starland, probably.
It's
emo, but it's also like not.
I know what I'm saying. I would put it either.
I'd put it under Thursday.
I would put it either here or here. That's where I would put it.
I put it there.
Polly?
There.
Okay.
I love that Thursday's become like the
cutoff point. We're like not touching anything top. But right. Did it make the cut or no? The Thursday cut or
and oh, you don't like this, but I love this album.
And this is what Rolling Stone said was the number
one. Rolling Stone magazine picked this album as the number one emo album of all time.
Really?
Yes. I love this album, and I think it's insanely emo.
It's so emo.
I'm gonna check it out right now.
Give us a listen.
Check it out. Oh yeah, just play Song About an Angel, and then that's all you need.
It sounds so good.
It sounds so emo, you asshole.
Emo.
Can we talk about something? What is emo really supposed to be?
Emotional.
It's just like, it's an emotional song. So emotional. Why didn't they not say emotional?
Because all music is kind of emotional. I mean,
yeah. True. Everything's about love if you think about it. Or love or hate about song.
True. Lame.
Music sucks. Why are we even talking about music?
Hold on. Sunny Day Real Estate. Alright, where's the write-ins? Because that was the last printed?
Yeah. But I want to rank this.
Well, Rob, I mean, you're going to put it somewhere, and then we're probably going to poo-poo it.
I'm still... Only because my chem is so high.
Look at this emo cover.
I love that cover. Come on, it's so cool. So that's emo. A great cover, man.
Oh, the toaster's on fire? I've never seen this album cover before.
You probably have. It's
It is like a famous
it's very,
album
very cover, big really. For what it is.
Alright, where would you put it? You would just throw it out, wouldn't you?
I don't know. For the fact that it is historically one of the more emo albums, I feel like you gotta place it, but I wouldn't put it high. I know you're gonna want to put it a lot higher than I'm gonna want.
Okay, that's fair.
I'd put
We can find a compromise.
I'd go above Thursday.
It made the cut! It made the Thursday cut!
That's right. It's right above this.
It's in.
I'm personally putting it over Your Favorite Weapon. I'm only going that much higher. Two more higher than what you say. So if you want to make it even, we could just put it here.
I like that one.
Over Saves the Day. Saves the Day is so emo.
Executive decision, it's done. Because you said Thursday cut, it was over. Alright, now.
The write-ins.
These are the blanks for the write-ins if we have anything, but these are the ones that might be considered emo-ish, at least in my mind, and maybe you will have more write-ins.
Well, there's a few heavy hitters.
So let's start off with the write-ins.
That's not really emo, though.
It isn't, but I feel like it could be. I think it's as emo as Panic at the Disco is, like, you know.
And toss them both.
Get rid of anything other than Thursday.
I mean, I love this album.
Right, but is it emo?
I don't know if it's emo.
I don't know.
I mean, I would agree with that.
I'm playing the lyrics in my head right now. And I don't know if you can really consider
they're not emo enough.
Yeah.
They're emo, but they're not emo enough, probably.
It's not, like, our top seven emo okay. right now.
So you want to rank it at all, or you want to just toss it?
I kind of, like, hate that we're tossing this album, though. I love this album.
If it's not emo, it shouldn't be on.
Sidebar it. Sidebar it.
Sidebar.
Sidebar.
I like. Next, we got a little SoCo action.
This is all... You like SoCo, or you listen to SoCo, right?
Something Corporate is super emo, I feel.
Yeah, I SoCo know, is too whiny like, for me.
Yeah.
But that means it's a good candidate to be up there.
It goes in the dashboard level. Yeah, it's
totally fucking dashboard. I have put it up here somewhere.
Like, up here.
Where the right flame there. Is.
Yeah. Burning candle.
Might have to toss it, too.
I would put it under cursive in this on this list.
I won't emo. Stop you. I recognize emo, how right? emo they are.
Right, exactly. Right. Okay. So we're putting Something Corporate, leaving... You know what I just realized? I feel like we've been just doing this without saying what albums we're talking about through the podcast.
Oh, yeah. We have... Oh, yeah. That last album was Thrice Illusion of Saint...
The worst podcast episode of all time. We're just doing this for fun.
All right, so ready? This is our current list. Top, Brand New, Deja Dendu. 2, Weezer Pinkerton, Taking Back Sunday, Tell All Your Friends. 4, My Chemical Romance, 3, Cheers. 5, To Meet World Lead Americans. 6, Curse of Domestica. 7, SoCo, Leaving Through the Window. 8, Your New Favorite Weapon, Brand New. 9, Sunday Deal Real Estate. 10 saves the day, and then the cutoff is Thursday. Yeah,
that's the cutoff so far. Alright, we're good?
Yeah, now we're good. Everyone's caught up.
We apologize to who if you're still listening. I don't know why you would be.
No idea.
We spent the last 20 minutes just doing this ourselves.
I'm going to listen to it tomorrow.
Just crack the hell up.
I'm going to make my partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have my work. I was like, just you got to check out this sweet podcast.
The best podcast ever.
See how long it takes.
Next album. This was not on the list.
Pretty emo.
I think it's pretty emo.
Is it pretty emo?
I think it's pretty emo.
Only in Dreams.
You end it with Only in Dreams. I mean...
Yeah, but a lot of the songs aren't, though. Say It Ain't So is... No One Else is emo.
Super emo.
But Buddy Holly, I guess.
Yeah, that's emo. I mean, it's not super emo, but it is emo-ish.
I'll put it below Thursday.
So as we're saying...
We're right. missing... We're cutting it off at the line right there.
Blue Album... So I don't even think we said it. It's Reason
We did it again! We just talked about it!
Weezer Blue Album is...
We're the worst podcast of all time.
Weezer Blue Album is my favorite album of all time. Nothing beats Weezer Blue, but if we're, again,
we're about
going
emo.
In terms of emo...
We're talking about emo-ness of the Blue Album.
I don't... It doesn't... It's not up there with the rest of these heavy hitters. Pinkerton is about the half-Japanese girl that broke his heart and never talked about that. Weezer Blue Album is about hanging out in a garage and going surfing.
Right, right.
And
it's like very,
that.
It's very just, it's random almost.
Yeah.
You know?
So I don't
it has
know
a lot of hits, and that's what makes it a really great album. But like,
we can definitely place that at the top of Mike's favorite albums of all time list, but I don't
think... You want to sidebar it?
Yeah, sidebar.
We're sidebarring.
But it's not an emo album.
Alright, now we're going back to Jimmy. Love this album. I think this might be even more emo than Bleed American, honestly. That's just my opinion. But this album is so emo. It has...
What songs are... I don't even know this album.
Yeah, is this
Takes My Pain Away in a House?
No, that's Futures.
I don't know any songs.
I like Futures. Futures
is a great album,
That
All Jimmy Worship
though, right?
be like... It wasn't on the list, but it's in here.
Okay.
Well, since you guys don't know it...
Yeah, we're putting it at the top. of the list.
We can scrap it, because it'll feel weird... Well, Brand New is there. I was going to say, it'll feel weird to put more than one album of a band on the top 10 list.
Bro, are you kidding me? We're going to get to Devil and God. I'm going to put it above
All right, let's scrap that. And then, then Thrice is still...
Artist in the Ambulance is more emo than Illusion.
It is. It definitely is. It definitely is, but it...
Would it make right it? Under Thursday.
I love this under Thursday.
Is it under over full class?
That's the cutoff list. All right, now we're going back to MCR with the Black Parade.
I don't know how emo that one was.
Oh, that was pretty emo.
I think it's really emo.
It's pretty emo.
Like you said, it started their image, but they still had their emo-ness. And after this album was when they went super image. With their,
that last album that came out.
Yeah. I would put it... Did we say what it is? The Black Parade, My Chemical Romance.
I mean, it's really emo.
I'll put it right over Thursday.
I put it over Thursday.
I love that one.
No.
I agree.
Love it.
Should we just, like, put this here?
Yeah, that's...
continue this to see if it makes it or not. Alright, we agree that Happy Hollow is not an emo album, correct?
Yeah, no, it's about priests and war.
Alright, here we go. Future's Jimmy Eat World. That's the one with, like...
Takes my pain away.
Yeah, work and all... It's super emo, man. I'm telling you. I guarantee you, if you listen to all these three Jimmy Eat World albums, you would want to kill yourself by the end of that.
I don't want to do that.
For emo albums, I personally would put it under Sunny Day.
Okay.
I don't know really? How you guys feel about that, but I personally...
I feel like right above...
No, I would put it over Saves the Day. I would put it over Through Being Cool.
Over, do you understand how emo Through Being Cool is, though?
This is Jimmy Eat World. I would put Chase This Light even higher.
Alright.
I'll give it to you. Above Sunny Day?
No, right below Sunny Day. I would put it over Sunny Day, too, though, even if you guys wanted to. I would put it either above or below Sunny Day.
I'm gonna do it.
I said below.
Below, alright.
Write it like two notches above Thursday.
Alright, here we go. Ugly Oregon, Cursive. We just talked about how emo this album was, but now how
But it's not as emo as our current list. It's great, but it's not as emo.
So does it even make this, or does it go here? Or does it go to sidebar?
I think it goes... Yeah, we'll start. Mike loves these albums.
Mike loves,
sidebar,
but they didn't make the list. Yeah. Sidebar.
It'd be right above Thrice on the Mike loves this album list.
All right, here we go. This didn't make the list, but I think this is a super emo album.
That's super emo.
All right, let's say it.
And so amazing.
The starting
say
line.
It like you mean it. Starting line. I feel like you got to put that above SoCo.
Hell yeah, I would put.
I would
that.
Put it above Cursive.
I'd put it above Cursive too.
Yeah, I would put it there. I would.
I'd even go up this high.
I would go there just because this does not belong in that spot. Right now.
I'd put it roughly seven notches above Thursday.
We're like, oh, seven notches.
Seven notches above Thursday.
I would put it.
I'm fine with it going in our top four.
It's super. Yeah.
Every song is about him whining about some girl.
So you want to put it over my cam?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Let's do that.
It's not Taking Back Sunday, but it's there.
Right, I agree. Agreed. Alright, now the second Taking Back Sunday album, Where You Want To Be.
Where You Want To Be is also so emo.
Right. but how emo is it?
I think
to the Thursday standard. How many notches?
That's maybe
I would
one
say,
above Thursday.
Yeah, I would say one there. Above. I would say right agree. There. I agree with that. It's just so ridiculous.
Three notches.
All right, here we go. Here's a heavy hitter.
I put that in the top three. Wait, I think that
the Get Up Kids,
Something Right Home
Something
About,
to Write Home
I
about.
Would actually even put that above Weezer.
I would put,
I would put it
as two.
I don't know it.
You don't know this album?
Yeah, you gotta get
it. It's really emo.
It's one of my favorite albums of all time.
I'm gonna emo it up.
Emo it up.
All right, weekend's about two.
I would put it about above Weezer.
Okay,
at our number two.
We're doing that just because it is what it is. All right, Kohee, Second Stage. Is it emo? Right, because it's we know about Claudio and his freaking comic book storyline.
I don't
but this
think
is,
any Kohee is lyrically is necessarily emo.
But his voice is very whiny.
Very whiny.
It is whiny.
But it's
but that's
like
saying, like, so should Rush be on there? He's got a really whiny voice.
I know, I was just about to say that prog rock sound might not live, like, fit with this category. So we could throw out Kohee.
We're going to sidebar it.
To both of them?
Both of them.
Right, here we go. Here's one that I don't know if you guys remember, but a little band called Straight Light Run.
I like Straight Light Run.
Straight Light Run. They're pretty emo.
They're pretty emo.
They're like piano emo. That's like close to something corporate style.
That's pretty emo. Right? Existentialism on prom night. It's pretty emo. It's pretty emo.
You don't get much emo or emo-er than that. What do you think, Paulie? Where would you
I don't think it's more emo though than Thursday. I definitely put it above Thursday.
Oh, definitely over Thursday.
I put it above Where You Want to Be. I put it right under Saves the Day. Yeah. No, what do you think?
I would put it over Saves the Day.
Dude, you're really not giving through being cool. It's
I'm giving it. This is freaking John Nolan with his stupid piano and so
it's John Nolan with and his sister with her
and
stupid
he
guitar.
And he wrote this album, so like. You know it's gonna be emo.
I wish we could take this out and then just put it like to another like vote. Like where should this be? Because this is a crime that this album is so Through Being Cool should not be that low.
We can do that. We can re-talk about this and we can re-talk about this fucking album here.
I'm almost down to swap those two right now.
Yeah. I would do that.
It really bothers me that Through Being Cool is that low. Like,
okay, you
it
swap
bothers
them?
Me that my chem is so high with three cheers. Are
doing
we swapping it?
Doing
yes.
it. Swapping. I'm doing it.
We made a trade. We did a trade in the draft.
What did you just trade?
Through Being Cool. Yeah, but there's so many albums that you were saying were definitely more emo than Through Being Cool. We just brought to the top of the list.
We can still redo this. Okay, now with this, which looks a lot better in my mind.
Yeah, it is.
Honestly, I feel a lot better now than I was before. Straight Light, I would put it there.
Above Futures?
Yes.
Okay. Alright.
Alright, we're down to last two, but we didn't talk about write-ins yet.
I think...
Well, are we breaking the fold there? Are we tossing another Dashboard album?
Burn it.
And now, Devil and God.
It's not a question of... It's... I think Deja should still be top.
Mm-hmm.
And... I'm really letting my love for the album just in general.
You gotta separate it and think about the emo-ness.
I put it above Through Being Cool.
I was actually looking exactly there, but then I looked at Jimmy Eat World. I'm like, it should be right under Jimmy Eat World.
Above Domestika?
Yes.
So the album is The Devil and God Raging Inside Me by Brand New.
We are so bad at this. We are so bad at this. I would put it there.
I'd put it above Domestika.
Okay. I'd put it there. Alright. Now has there been any albums that I don't have typed up that we can write in and rank them?
I know Poli loves Boys Night Out.
Oh yeah, Boys Night Out. That first album, what is it? Trainwreck? No,
that's not the first one.
The second one. But I really like the second one. I don't know how much I know about the first one.
Let me get a pen.
Well, I know there's that. There's also...
I just thought of it, too.
You guys remember Story of the Year?
Story of the Year.
I remember Story of the Year.
Story of the Year is really...
Well, what about that first album that we were just talking about? Someone's first album.
You know who we don't have any of theirs on here, and they're one of my favorite emo bands? Where's my early fucking November?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Where's my early November?
Alright, let's do Early November.
Early November, The Room's Too Cold is really fucking emo. Isn't that with the Mountainside of My
Room? Oh, yeah.
Room? Yeah, that's
it's with
really,
all the songs. It starts out with Ever So Sweet.
That one's really good.
Now, where would we put Early November?
Room's Too Cold, I would definitely put above Thursday and My Chemical Romance. I put it, actually, I would kind of put that there. I put it above Straight Light. That's where
you know
I would
what?
Put it.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Okay. So anything else? What was the one you just said? When you were talking
Story about? Of the Year,
story
Boys Night
year.
Out.
The Story of the Year.
Yeah. Under Oath. We don't have any Under Oath on there. They're
that's
really
too
emo.
Christian rock for
that's true, they're Christian emo.
Yeah.
Christian emo.
Christian emo.
What did we listen to back in the day? Where's the escape engine?
Escape engine.
I mean, if anything, this is a pretty solid list I think we just compiled.
Well, I mean...
You want to re-rank?
My love for Saves the Day, there's no Stay What You Are. Stay What You Are, I think, is more emo than Through Being Cool.
Really? I mean, they're both... They're all very emo. they are all pretty emo.
Who else are we forgetting?
I don't know.
That might be it. I think, I mean, look at this list. It's a pretty legit list.
You want to, before we say what it is, do you want to re-rank any of them?
I don't know, Polly, looking at this, do you guys feel like any of them shouldn't be where they are?
I mean, everything looks pretty legit. I like that we moved it around.
I like how Thursday's
I think that trade. Top 10. I think that trade was the perfect thing to do.
Yeah, it was bothering me that my cam was that up that high.
Yeah, was it? You fought for it. You bored me on that.
But then we start seeing all these other albums. I'm like, it's not as emo as these albums.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff
came out. I didn't see it.
I really can't think of any other albums that aren't on here.
Right? I think it's a pretty solid list we have here.
Emo.
I think it's just like... Okay, Mike, read off the list that we have.
We're just doing our top 10, right?
Yeah, top 10.
Did it make it?
No.
What do you count from the top?
No, I want to do... Actually, so something about real estate's not even in our top 10.
Just one, two.
No, I'm doing it here. We're right here. So our 10th album...
No. Yeah, this is the 10th.
10th album.
Wait, no, this is the 10th.
No, this is the 10th.
This is the 10th.
That's the 10th?
Uh-huh.
Shit. Alright. Our 10th most emo album of all time is Something Corporate, Leaving Through the Window. 9th is Cursive Domestica. 10th. 8th.
Did you forget how to count?
8th. Is Brand New, The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me. 7th is Jimmy Eat World, Bleed American.
Well, you didn't remember.
6th. Saves the Day Through Being Cool. 5th, Starting Line, Say It Like You Mean It. 4th, Take Him Back Sunday, Tell All Your Friends. 3rd, Weezer Pinkerton. 2nd, The Ghetto Kid, Something Right Home About. And then number 1, Brand New, Deja and Tendu, because we threw away a Dashboard Convention.
I like it. I think that's a solid list right there.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
This is our longest podcast ever.
How long is it? I don't even know.
Hour and 30 minutes.
Oh my god. Yeah. Alright, well, we better call it quits.
No one is still listening.
Especially after that debacle of this.
So
we're just talking.
We're gonna post the list online so you don't have to listen for an hour.
You don't have to go through a whole hour of this discussion. Alright, what are we gonna talk about next episode? Any ideas? Should we do another? I think we should do another tournament next episode.
Well, what's coming up that we could do a tournament on? Game of Thrones characters. Like, our favorite characters because the premiere's coming up.
When is the premiere of that?
24th.
We still got time for that.
Okay. It's true.
Just anything in general. Like we were talking about yesterday. Like
well, tune in next time for me and Rob to hate on Walking Dead. Some more.
Wait, did we ever make our predictions who's going to die? You said
Daryl and Carol. Daryl Carroll.
Oh, yeah,
well, who'd you say?
I don't even remember. I think I said Carroll because I think she's showing weakness or she's going to die.
Just, they'll both be above Thursday full collapse. That's all I know.
Yeah, what about how emo they are?
Glenn.
Super emo.
Glenn would get tossed because he's too emo.
Too emo. He breaks the
freaking out.
All right, thanks for listening. Peace.